I don't know, like, if you historically, if you look at any financial crisis, there's always these black swan events, there's always run-ups, and like what we saw last year, people, that was normal bear market behavior. Now we're getting into the deep of like depressed economies and stuff like that, but there's been very few times in history where the economy has actually went into what they call the depression. Obviously the main one everyone knows is the Great Depression, but we actually went in, well, in 2017 we had a very brief moment of depression, and obviously right before they turned on the money printers with the whole 2020 COVID thing. Now what we're looking at right now is this narrative of Bitcoin won't be affected by this impending doom because, you know, everything's gonna, it's designed to beat the banks, but which may be true in the long term, but even some of these banks,
well,
like
it's a
Silicon,
hedge against them when they're not doing well. People used to put their money into metals, let's say, to hedge against banks and things. So when they're doing poorly, which they are, the culmination of things, yes, with, well, there was all the other crypto were doing poorly too, except for Bitcoin after FTX is up. They're all getting tanked. But you would think with, you know, hey, your interest rates are up, you could just put money in a bank and very safely collect interest, right? But not as great a rate as what you can get on at least BTC.
No, that's part of the inherently.
It's also Bitcoin is global, like, whereas you got to be in America to use American bank and so on. Like, so not everybody.
Yeah,
has
but all I'm saying basically is that when these big events happen, like we do go into depression, people need money. Like Bitcoin, even gold will tank with the stock market. However, the thing that makes people rich is the recovery. That's why they say millionaires are made in recessions, because the people who buy the fear on these assets, whether it be gold, silver, medical stocks, energy stocks, they have the quickest recovery, and they don't necessarily make money on the downside as much as they do from the recovery and the correction of that. So right now with crypto, with all these bank runs that are impending or have happened, it's being flocked to by, you know, large scale investors because of its properties algorithmically, like its fixed supply. That's the one, that's the big thing about Bitcoin, is it has a fixed supply. There's no person who can say, oh, well, I'm going to type in, now there's much of this money in the circulation, like they do at the Federal Reserve. Like they say, like a lot of people have misconceptions about money printing, and I'm sure you've said before, you know, it's just a dude typing a number on a screen. But there's no one who can type, who can change.
You can arbitrarily expand the money supply without tying it to labor, whereas Bitcoin is a fixed number. And I guess, I mean, it increases because of mining and stuff, but it's going to hit a ceiling. And it's at a certain rate because they can only mine but so fast or whatever. So you can't just, oh, let's just triple the money supply or whatever. You can't do that. So you won't have the inflationary effect of increasing the money supply. Now, you can increase the money supply if it's distributed based on work, right? Public works or something, at least give some value to paper money if it's tied to labor. But what they did, and not just dollars, but almost everybody printed money to pay for COVID welfare. And it was the biggest, it was like trillions globally of all these people were, they shut businesses down, they forced people to stay home, and they gave them Rona cash, but they were giving Rona cash to not work. So the value of the money went down and the prices of everything went up. Because you get money doing nothing, it loses value.
But honestly, like, all of this does tie back to the question of where's the fucking list, because I can actually pull up, I think I sent it to you. There was this really, like, I think it was like 2014 or something, where there was an article where Silicon Valley Bank was one of the banks named in one of the subpoenas along with Jeffrey Epstein. So a lot of these banks that you're seeing taking their exit, you know, there's multiple, you posted, I'm pretty sure there's multiple of the, like the CEO cashed out before they said the bank wasn't solvent. Like it's a repeat attack on a new sector. And
you know, spend customer funds to become insolvent, they stuff their pockets and leave, you know. And then in some cases they got bailed out. Now, like in the case of Silicon Valley, the depositors, even the ones that had more than $250,000 in there, they got backed up by the state, but all the speculators were just left hanging. So like the people that wanted to get their money out can, but the government's footing the bill, which means that got spread across the taxpayer to pay for the irresponsibility of this bank.
Well, and beyond that, that contributed to some of the insolvency. Like there's a fiduciary responsibility when you're the CEO of a bank, and like no one's really mentioned that. Like this, like it's all the stuff you see in the media is just smoke and mirrors. Like that should be like the main question and all. It's like, wait, doesn't he have a responsibility to his depositors not to, like the SEC is, you know, beady-eyed Gensler is fucking concerned with the exchanges, and he's still battling with the World Economic Forum over their XRP project. And it's just like, dude, you have in your own financial system clear violations that you're just sidestepping because you're the old guard and you don't want this current new system to take hold. And that's why they're going for the exchanges, because they want to cut that bridge off. But honestly, if they go with central bank digital currencies, all the people that don't want to live in that system, they'll either use silver, gold, Bitcoin, and Litecoin. Like that will be it. And you know, maybe some people will toy with that Ethereum shit, but that's where all your, like, each country is going to have its own CBDC blockchain. And China's not going to want to do foreign exchanges on America's blockchain and vice versa. So they'll need to be an intermediary, and they'll use Ethereum. So you can, you know, buy yourself some power by having Ethereum in the long term. But right now we're just going through that.
There's going to have to be a huge expansion in the competition between exchanges, because the way it is now, it's only like five, and they can just cancel you, and then you're not allowed to buy or sell.
Sorry, I was taking a drink of water. There's one.
Well, I was just saying, like Red Ice, myself, there's certain individuals based on politics that are not allowed to sell Bitcoin or buy it.
Yeah, just like imagine yourself, like
when you have a digital currency, you're like, yeah, money supply, Fed, whatever. If you make it digital and it's not physical cash, someone can just push a button and cut you out of the system.
Yeah, and that's the issue too. Like right now, like they want. Like the goal of the crypto people is to get mass adoption, but like there needs to be, like, you can't burn the system down without having backstops in place to take care of the people that's going to like affect negatively. You can't have a revolution without, you know, assurances to everyone else who doesn't really give a shit that they will be able
to live peacefully. Right? They didn't like what he said. They just got rid of his bank account, you know.
Have you seen that? It's all very, like you said it to Sneeko in his interview, you know, they might not even have their own opinion on, you know, whether it be you or Kanye, but they see something, they get fed misinformation, and they're like, okay, I don't want to deal with that bag of monkeys and have that fall on me, which, you know, is the reality of things. But
it'll be a bunch of false positives. Like, so let's say, well, we don't want Nazis to be millionaires or whatever your thing is. Well, then all you got to do is accuse somebody of being a Nazi and they're off the bank, whether they are or not. Doesn't matter. It's easier to just cancel somebody than it is to sift through all the bullshit.
The one person that I like that has an exchange right now is that CZ guy, which the funny thing, since Ethereum's had its, but Binance, the smart thing that they did is they actually have two tokens. They share the same price, but they have a token that all their futures and regulated activities take place on, and they have a blockchain called the Smart Chain, which is technically has a more decentralized validator pool than Ethereum right now in terms of the pie chart, is basically has a copy of all those transactions on it. So even if they were to like completely destroy Binance, the company, the blockchain of it would still continue to exist. And that's true for Ethereum and consensus and all these things. But like everyone who's dumping their money in on every little minor dip right now, like just wait a year till it's cheaper. Honestly, if you're really trying to make quick money, you're better off buying fucking Litecoin, because it's like baby Bitcoin, and its halving is this summer, where Bitcoin's next halving is in like next February basically. So it's like, even then you can't just put it in and not pay it. That's the thing with like crypto versus like a gold investment. You can buy gold, put it away, forget about it.
Because they got a new central banker. They're getting a new central banker in a day, like April. They're going to have a new head of the Central Bank of Japan. Yen is at a 35-year low against the dollar. And this all happened like in the last 5 months. Like the yen was about 98 cents to $1.02 for years, right? You could basically just take two zeros off, because yen is based on the penny, not the dollar, right? 1 yen is 1 cent kind of thing. So 100 yen is a dollar. So it was like 101, which is like a buck. It was like 98. Now it's like 75, right? 75 cents to the dollar. And it's not, I don't see it going lower than that. So buying a bunch of yen with this, because the new bank's already signaled what he's going to do, that'll jolt up, which would be good for me. But I'm happy to leave. Currency swap. That happened one time in like 2006. It went from like 100 down. It went down 25 points and then went right back up to 100. So if you can grab it, like you said, during the recovery, that's the time to snatch it. When it's not going to go worse, right? There's nothing wrong with the economy in Japan. They just doubled the size of their military. They had a whole bunch of huge expenditures, and the Rona theater is over everywhere except for here. So that's ending also in a day. So things will be on the up and up. You know, I'm gonna grab some yen.
Short. Honestly,
you've got to wait a year. I mean, you can get that right now and hold on to it. It'll be going up this summer, like that fast. You know.
Well, Japanese learned. They actually learned from their what happened to them. If you look at the Japanese economy right now, they don't print money and they don't have interest rates. It's almost like they just have a static amount of money supply and they treat money as money. It's kind of funny how that works. So yeah, I completely
agree. They become the global lenders. Everybody borrows from Japan because it's got like a 0% interest rate, right? So it's very easy for businesses to expand and just borrow the money. They pay back almost exactly what they borrowed, no interest.
But yeah, but in turn, that
your money somewhere, they're not going to stick it in a bank.
Like, I mean, like it all depends.
People have a savings account in Japan is because you can pay all your bills through your bank. You don't need checks. Yeah, so they'll park a certain amount in there so they can pay their rent, their electric, from the bank. But it's just no interest rate. But like 0.01 or whatever, 0.01, it's useless.
It's just like enough to cover the transaction fees, basically, and like just paying the people to keep the computers on. It's like the definition of like how a financial system and people, its regulators, like should be regulated. But that's not the case in right now with the U.S. The U.S. sees Bitcoin, China, anything that's not their own form of transacting as a threat. And right now, the big dog is Bitcoin. Even hedge funds are just pumping Bitcoin because they know the FOMO is going to set in. People are going to buy it. Me personally, I just like Bitcoin because I have this one exchange where they don't ask for my ID, and I can just trade like on what you're talking about, like with Forex and all that. And it's just more private. But yeah, no, it's a fucking.
It definitely has a lot of advantages, but the real bad one and this is just for me and like political types, is you can get canceled so easy. It's like almost as fragile as PayPal, where they're just like, you're gone, and whatever you were holding, that's also gone.
We need to solve that by allowing people to take their payment, like, you know, like regular people, to get a wage. Like, do you want your wage paid in cash or crypto? Like, whether it be you or anyone else, like, it needs to be people who desire it, like myself. Like, I would be absolutely fine working in a factory if I was paid in Bitcoin. If I was paying Bitcoin, I wouldn't care about the price. I'll work for that the whole time. And then in turn, I have more of it to give to people like you. And then that issue will kind of go away. But that's not going to go away until, you know, the farmer down the road starts accepting a couple Satoshis for some eggs, like, it kind of thing. Like,
it's hard to accept it for transactions because it's so volatile. Even if it goes way up or way down, that's still bad, right? Like, no one wants, if you're going to sell, I don't know, $1 million worth of oil or whatever, either the seller or the buyer is going to get fucked, right? If it's volatile. Like, if it goes way down, like, hey, the buyer is like, I don't want this money. It just went down 10% or whatever. But when it goes way up, then the seller's mad. Like, hey, wait, if I waited a day, I could have got more, you know? So you want stability. Yeah. There just isn't any. It's all over the place. Like, they're like, oh, but like, it went up 33%. I'm like, that's great, but that's not good for transactions.
Until you get into like the social construct of money too, right? Because if we were to just be like, yeah, the US dollar, never mind what that is, I get 100 satoshis an hour for my labor, and that's just how things are priced. Oh, gold is X amount of satoshis. Like, it's also a shift of paradigm in that regard. But that's honestly just like a bigger, we need to be like, this goes back to what I was saying.
You'd have to pay people. You're right. You'd have to start doing wages in crypto before you can start doing products in crypto.
Yeah, like with NFTs and all that stuff. There is a move right now, honestly. I can speak to this because I have family who has real estate too. The next big, like, when crypto does its thing again, the next big push is going to be tokenized real estate. And that's going to kind of provide some comfort to boomer people, basically, that will say, like, hey, you can exit this system, have full control of the assets you actually care about, and, you know, and have some value found with this. Because you can do your loans with, you know, DeFi. It's very nice. You know, you can back, just the same way someone uses their house as equity, you could do with blockchain, absolutely. But the big thing you would want is, let's say you have
the word equity correctly. What it used to be.
I mean in the like the deposit trading form, but
you mean like I paid off X amount, so I have this much equity in my housing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowadays it's just like code word for diversity. I'm gonna give you the floor because I'm on a subway. It's gonna be noisy, but you can just keep talking.
Okay, all right, no problem. But a large part of what's gonna be pushed in the next thing is, you know, giving some comfort to those who have, you know, worked for their lives to be comfortable. And kind of going back to the original mindset of all this stuff is removing banks and lawyers from large scale asset transactions. So whether, say, ownership of a car or, you know, deed to a house, you can tokenize it and accept whatever form of currency you want, or token, and blah, yada yada yada. But yeah, no, like, kind of to circle back to the root of all what's going on with like price action too, you can't, as Bitcoin gets fully mined up, transaction fees are only going to go up and up and up and up as less and less Bitcoin becomes released to miners as they complete blocks. So plus Bitcoin can't really do a lot of transactions super duper quick. Like, it doesn't compare to, say, Interact e-transfer, all that stuff that everyone uses in day-to-day life. So the better thing to use Bitcoin for is like what Ethereum does with it, and wrap it up and use it as a base liquidity or something along those lines to back, you know, the price of your stablecoin, where you have an algorithm that sells Bitcoin if its value goes up, or so on. You're getting into trading bots and stuff like that now, but these types of things already fuel our present economy in our current day. You know, if a company makes a lot of money, let's say Coca-Cola, and a bot sees that, it will buy up more Coca-Cola stock, anticipating a rise in price because of an earnings, you know, boost, basically. So our economy has already been... Sorry? Go ahead.
They can do it faster than adjustment, because like something like Coca-Cola, maybe a third of their revenue is selling Coke products. The other two-thirds is people speculating on whether or not they're going to sell Coke products.
Yeah, but exactly. Like they anticipate that emotion in the market too. Like that's all been programmed in. And like, I don't want to get too much into this, but like there are people out there who go like, oh, Mercury in retrograde, that means the stock will go down, yada, yada, yada. That is a joke. But if you actually get in, like, stop looking. Women, you can make a lot of money if you actually learn what astrology is for and learn about egg markets and learn about how chickens react to the movement of the moon. Markets today are still very much so driven by eggs and of chickens, like, beyond how much you would imagine. Like,
do you know that eggs are the second most eaten food after rice?
Sorry, repeat.
I said after rice, the most eaten food in the world is eggs, chicken eggs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd totally leave that. It's not a hard, like, if you have some land, you can have chickens kind of thing. Like, as long as you have some grass and some, you know, some people don't even feed them seeds. They're like, here's the old leftover stems from my vegetables chopped up. Like, and they'll eat that and they'll make you eggs. Like, they're very easy to take care of as long as you just kind of keep them.
There's a lot of stocks that are seasonal too. Like, I used to have Coke, like the example you gave, went out in the 90s. I got it when I was 13. I pay attention, like always, spring, Christmas, and in the summer when it's warmer, people just drink more everything. Right?
Exactly. Like, there's a
buy in the winter, sell at the end of the summer. Kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a market cycle right there. A lot of people try to pay attention to just like up and down. They don't look at like time cycles. And another time cycle that we're just actually just restarted is the 7-year Schmidt cycle. Now, Schmidt, I'm sure I've mentioned this to you before, but I'll just kind of reiterate for those listening. Schmidt is the sabbatical year of mentioned in the Torah. So ding, bell sound. But every 7 years on a Schmidt year, there's been a stock market crash. 9/11 occurred during a Schmidt year. The 2008 housing crisis occurred during a Schmidt year. You can follow, like, 1929, Schmidt year. There's these 7-year cycles, and on a grander scale, 70-year cycles. Like, we're coming to the near end of one of these 70-year cycles. So, which is like super Schmidt, super Schmidt, as they, I don't know, haha. But yeah, no, like, time cycles and markets are a big thing. Like, if you, Bitcoin trades 24/7, but if you look at it and you look at the tide of the moon, like during high tide and low tide is when peaks are found, it's kind of messed up. So if you can actually where high tide and low tide is, and it's like, oh shit, there's peaks and valleys that line up with that, and it's literally people's emotions influencing the market, and it's like, wait, that I thought that was all bullshit. It's like, kind of, maybe not.
That, well, each, some of it's coincidental, like they have these luncheon deals and then they go to the floor or whatever. It's like, it just happens to be when people eat and stuff, like,
match up. I was just kind of like getting into like planets influencing our emotions. Like, each planet has, like, even our own has a base that, like, you've heard of the Schumann resonance. Each other planet has each other planet goes. And that's why astrology was made. It's like, okay, there's all these celestial bodies. Maybe they do influence a person. Maybe not. I don't know. But what I've looked at a lot of charts.
They don't the way that horoscopes say, but like the moon does affect tides. It does affect fishing and lots of other markets and things.
Exactly.
Like, but it's not in the kind of like, oh, there's a moon goddess up there making decisions. It's like, no, it physically has a gravitational pull on the water, and that one matters. It's like, but
these cycles too, like with plants, this Schmidt cycle, like the it wasn't just concocted out of thin air. If you look at plants, they have a 5 to 7 year cycle where they'll actually go through like a withering year where they'll like fully die off and allow the seeds that came off their fruit to flourish, because each plant, you know, will grow higher and higher, and unless they do that, their young aren't going to be able to catch, you know, grow and get the sufficient amount of sun. So
you heard about the circle time. The Hopi, the Zuni, some Navajo Dine, at least, they have like plants calendar, and it's based on these cycles that are just pattern recognition, you know. But the thing is, like, now and then there'll be a big fire, right? That resets stuff that happens in California all the time. But sometimes they do controlled burns, and stuff is necessary for the next gen. Nature has been there long enough to account for lightning and so on and fires, and when there's enough undergrowth and whatnot, it happens. But it is necessary for it to flourish in the future. If you keep putting them out, you'll just end up with even greater fire later that'll overburn, right? There's certain things that you shouldn't be messing with.
This whole Schmidt thing is just like using that to the advantage. And they kind of realized that they need to let their crops farrow in those 7 year cycles. And, you know, Dutch people here in Canada kind of have a similar process that they adhere to. I think it might be an 8 year cycle, so they have a different view on it a little bit. But anyway, all this pattern recognition, whether it be coming from in a kooky way like astrology or religion or even just basic, you know, mathematical, non-kooky.
Well, I looked at this graph and it went up, down, up, down. I guess it has to do that again. It doesn't, but yeah.
Yeah, and then even if it is going to do that, like, you need to use direct deductive reasoning.
Sorry, there's a handicapped person that's like screaming at the top of his lungs.
Oh, that is, I didn't want to say that, but like that actually is it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Honestly, that's going to be the sound of everyone when the next market crashes anyway.
Maybe that's all it is.
If you wanted me to screen share, I could show some articles.
Rude, just yelling like that is in Japan. But the guy's clearly got Down syndrome, so they just let it be. I don't want to laugh, but it's just subtle. That was an odd situation because everyone's just acting like they don't hear him and walking around. And he's just completely losing his shit.
Do you think people are like biting their lip or like trying to be respectful and not crack up? Or like, is it just like
funny at all? If someone else was doing that, they'd already be on the ground. But like, you know, he doesn't know any better. So it's like, well, you just let him be, you know.
Fair enough. It's just like, it's
kind of. I mean, I'd be angry. I got angry the first yell I heard. I was like, what the fuck? And then I saw his face. I was like, oh, never mind. I feel bad now. It's like talking to Democrats, like if you have to talk to a liberal, but you forgot your finger puppets, so you don't know how to explain stuff to them.
They just start, either you broke their brain, you told them something they didn't want to know.
Yeah, like everything.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly.
You ever watch
liberal do math? Yeah, they.
It's too objective. True. They're like, I fucking hate math. I'm like, I bet you do.
That's why they invented 2 + 2 = 5. Yeah.
You just go up to like Antifa or whatever and say algebra. And they're like, ugh. It's like hurts them physically.
Solve for X.
Solve for re.
Re. But yeah, I'll if you want me to go on more about that monopoly money stuff, I can. But like, yeah, the gist of it is like, this is a cycle. We're nearing restarting the cycle. Wait till everything's cheaper. Don't lose your money, basically, right? But in the meantime, buy commodities, real, tangible, physical shit. Gemstones, gold, silver, platinum. Food, ammo. Yeah, platinum.
You think of platinum? Yeah.
Yeah, man, platinum, even copper, like, and I, you know, energy stocks too, medical stocks, like, just the basic stuff people need on a day.
I mean, if you're an asshole, just buy some Raytheon, because they're not ending that war in Ukraine anytime soon, and they are running out of ammo.
It's war cycles are very unpredictable, unless you're gonna watch that.
That one's a for sure thing. Like, it's already on, and they're out of ammo. One of the only most successful things has been the HIMARS, the Lockheed Martin. Like, you're a piece of shit if you give money to Lockheed.
But I just mean, like, in the sense, like, the way these companies behave. Like, there's no real, like, yeah, they do well during wars, but there's no way to actually call the top of a market during the war. It's like, oh yeah, is there more fucking death? All right, well, the top isn't fucking here yet then. Like, and so in that essence, if you are a piece of shit and you have no moral compass, like, you know, since Tate was released today, all the stuff that they're basing on him, it pales in comparison to that. You know what I mean? Oh, he taught some girls how to make even more money with OnlyFans. Right. Okay, big fucking whoop. You guys are fucking...
You know, they never even charged him. He and his brother, there's a bunch of accusations and bullshit online, but they never even had formal charges. So they spent 3 months and a few days in jail. It's really funny because I went to the holy sites because I was showing Sneeko and I don't know if I can say the other people, but the people that are with him around. And I was like, well, I'm here. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask for Tate to be released from jail. And I like really sincerely did. Did all the proper Shinto thing and Buddhist thing and meditated and everything. And then he got out of jail, and I was like, oh man, I'm going back and asking for money now. No. But see, at those temples, you're not supposed to ask for yourself. You can give gratitude, or you can ask for something on behalf of another. That's the rule, or whatever. So, yeah.
Can I ask you a question that someone actually taught me? I don't know if it's real or not, though. This tattoo artist that I know, he has a statue of Buddha in this like wicker basket. And it's surrounded by just a shitload of coins, like coins that he has from Russia, like his, you know, his friends, and just like, you know, our currency. And you're not allowed to take from it, and you're only allowed to give from it. And if you give it, you're allowed to touch Buddha in a way. I forget, but it might be his own thing. But is there any root? Like, is that just his own thing, or is there something like that actually? Well,
when people say Buddhism, it's not like, even if you say Christianity, you say, well, which sect, right? Protestant, Catholic, Eastern Orthodox. If you say Protestant, they're like Baptist or Episcopalian or Methodist.
Yeah,
or
Presbyterian. I was baptized Protestant, but raised Orthodox.
Right. But I would argue that there isn't a huge difference between the different Protestant sects. And there's not a huge difference between Orthodox and Catholic either. There is a bit of a difference between Protestant and Catholic, or Protestant and East Orthodox, because Protestants don't have a pope or bishops, right? It's more direct relationship with God. But they all still have the same, almost the same Bible, and the same story of Jesus. But between Buddhist sects, they're very different. Like, because it's an older religion, and a lot of it developed without writing for the peasantry. So it got very diversified. And so you have sects in China and Japan and India are very different. And then China has adds all this folklore and Taoism and Confucianism to it. It just sort of comes part of Buddhism. So So when you say Buddhist, you mean like, well, which kind of Buddhist, right? Zen Buddhism is
fair enough.
The kind that happened in Japan. So I can't say that's that guy's own thing because I don't even know all the different sects of Buddhism. It's very much, it's huge. It's an ancient religion. It's like Hinduism. It's very hard to explain. Like, well, some Hindu do this, some Hindu do that because you've got different regions practice it differently. And I'm not going to argue with them about it, but. The coin thing in Japan, they use the Goen coin, 5-cent round coin, has special meaning and purpose, and this one you're supposed to use, like the nickel. But, yeah, I mean, probably a guy didn't just make it up, but I don't think there's an authentic thing that says, yeah, you can have a bunch of currencies from different countries, because that just wouldn't have been a thing at the time of Buddha, so...
Okay, so there's a proper like coin and a proper like object to offer up properly. Okay, so it might he just kind of
coin. It be like a tea cake or whatever. You know, it's just a show like incense or candle. But see, candles now it's no big deal. Back then, making a candle a little bit expensive, right? It's proof that you're not being frivolous about it. You're serious about it.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know any of, like, I always did indeed think Buddhas.
Yeah, it's whatever. I mean,
which is kind of interesting. Like, same with real Muslims.
About it, I'll sit down and talk to them about Eightfold Path and the whole thing. Same thing with, I'll do that with Christians too. If someone wants to learn about real Christianity, not the scope of time, I can have that conversation with them. But that's not something I do on a podcast. It's like, nah, this is should be a personal thing. And like, I don't know, it's something that cheapens it. Just like televangelists, yeah. Like, what are you doing on TV talking about Christhood? I don't know. They just seem like they turned it into a business for themselves.
They're trying to make money. Yeah. Right. That's like, that was why Jesus knocked them off the banks and screamed. And like the one violent act Jesus commits, it was against fucking bankers.
I would never teach people about religion for money. If I'm going to give them that knowledge, that information that I've gathered, it's just going to be because I've assessed them to be a quality person and they deserve it. That's it. Like, if I don't like you, I'm not going to give away great information for your
judgment based on character. And like,
I mean, it might be petty, but I'm like, you're gonna attach your name to this and do it wrong, and so it ruins it, you know. It's kind of like, yeah, I don't want to share my most favorite music with an idiot.
The only songs I think I've heard that I know you like our TFS songs, which are just great.
Cool, maybe. I've shared that. But...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Maybe it was someone else who shared that just in the chat. But those are pretty funny. I really can speak knowingly about and just like keep going on about is probably like the financial stuff, but like I don't want to violate the prime chat rule of no crypto talk too much, only when called upon, right?
Right. Well, I just, it's like, this isn't chat. You can talk about it on here, but what happens, and the same thing with religion, like I don't put up that either, and it's not because, oh, I hate that. It's like it'll take over and nothing else, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want people arguing about Islam or something.
It's an endless hole.
It just becomes the channel about that and not about anti-neocons or politics or the war in Ukraine or whatever. You know, you will be overwhelmed with crypto bros. And I'm like, there's a zillion other channels that only talk about that where you can go do that. I'm not getting stuck in that fucking tar baby. Like, yeah, it's like I will limit talk about 9/11 too, because I don't want the cougars going endlessly in circles about thermite grenades or whatever, you know. It's just like, shut up. But in an actual chat, like voice chat, whatever, everything's fine, like, because it's only one or two people. But I got a bunch of hands raised, so now we'll open the floor.
Sounds good, man.
Sean, Drew. Did I get Sean? I missed him.
I think Drew, Sean, and Jesse can now speak along with Josh. Yeah, you guys just got to unmute yourselves, but I'll mute myself now.
Hey, Ryan. Let's me play him and Joe.
Somebody talk.
Real Obama. All right. You want it? Someone go.
Ryan, I got two questions and I'm going to shut up.
It was Lincoln's fault and dang. No.
Gosh. Well, I just donated to Scott 20 beans, so good for him. Your bro.
Oh, awesome.
Your
bro. The Croton in the museum.
Yep. Okay, yep.
So when you're thinking about the
geez, I'm hearing an echo of myself. But I don't know what the libertarian mindset is like for the starting of currency and like the starting of a financial system. So that's something I was curious of. Like, do you just start with what you have, like what your resources are, and then you build from there, and then everything's zeroed out from there, and then there's no inflation from there? That's kind of one question I had. And the second question I had is, I've seen the Corbett report, reports on like Osama died. There's 9 reports of Osama dying and he was on dialysis. I heard you say something the other day where it's like, well, he wasn't as sick as he was. So do you think what was it, 2011 death was accurate? Like, and there's a lot of different reports of the person that killed him from the different SEAL people. So those are basically my two questions. Like, how do you start like a robust independent finance system? Like, what is the starting point? Is it just like your natural resources and then you kind of square out from there? And then the other is Bin Laden, and was he alive and healthy, and is his death accurate? And I'll shut up now.
No.
All right, so Bin Laden's the easier question, I guess. There was a lot of crap and false videos and false tapes of Bin Laden and say, oh, this is Bin Laden's new tape, and it clearly wasn't. And then as for his death, all that cast a lot of shade on whether or not he had died earlier or the SEALs got him, because then they claimed, oh yeah, we buried him at sea or something because we didn't want a spot on the land for to become a new Mecca or something. Like, well, now you just made that entire body of water that by putting it there, right? So nobody... it's like everybody wants to make sure this guy is good and gone. That should have been filmed or documented or something. It was like, nope, we shot him, and then we put his body in the ocean. Yeah, that's it. You know, it just sounded really bad. But then you would have to get that team to lie, and then a lot of SEAL Team 6 suddenly died in a helicopter crash a few days later. So who knows? But he's definitely dead by now. There were accounts, Pakistan said he had died earlier, but there was just, it's hard to get to the bottom of it because there's so much fake news about Bin Laden that like never really mattered to me because he wasn't the orchestrator and mastermind of 9/11 anyway, so whatever. But I understand all the skepticism and all that, but I think, yeah, they probably killed him in 2011. And probably the reason they wouldn't document it and stuff is that it was just going to inflame the Muslim world even more, and they were worried about it. I mean, look, at that time, you know, they freaked out about like a French artist that just poorly betrayed the Quran, or somebody had flushed the Quran down a toilet and everybody rioted. Like, oh, that's what it is, your holy book gets you riled up, but your children getting killed doesn't. I mean, It's whatever that people get outraged by, whatever they're told to get outraged by. It's really media in both directions. But there's no way he lived to now. I think he was a prisoner in Pakistan, and then they just let him die when Obama needed a pump. They knew he was sitting there the whole time. Ron Paul predicted it. He said he's probably right there on that border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. He knew. Ron Paul knew something. So as a libertarian view, the actual libertarian, not the anarchist view, is what Jefferson said and what the Constitution says, right? You can issue new money, but you could have competing currencies, and you shouldn't have a central bank determining the interest rate for the entire country, right? Let the markets do it instead of just, like, no person is intelligent enough to go, yeah, let's just set it like this. Like, you got to allow the ebb and flow. And they wanted minted coins. Now we have paper. The reason they were against that, it was subject to counterfeit. Oh, goodness. Hold on. Wait for this to go by. All right, someone else asked questions, and I answer the rest of that next week.
Ryan, you hear about those 100 or so countries that are thinking about ending using the U.S. dollar? Do you think they're going to end up doing that?
It doesn't matter if they do. This reserve currency stuff, I just, haha, whatever. Like, it's an exchange. People use the dollar because it's tied to the largest market and it has the least volatility traditionally. And so if you're going to be making major purchases for something like oil, they have dollars on reserve because the dollar doesn't move around all day, whereas other currencies do, especially after the world wars. What were you going to peg it to? Certainly not the franc, certainly not the Deutschmark or the yen. Like, they're all over the place. They peg it to the dollar. And you don't have to. Like, Japan and India quit using dollars a long time ago. Nothing happened. But it's like, oh, we won't be the reserve currency of the world. It's the end of the universe. No, it isn't. The dollar is going to go down, but that ain't going to be why. All right, I'm on subway home.
Right on.
Plus, they'll have to burn through the ones they already have, right? They already have them on reserve.
With all that talk, and it seems like we're trying to escalate things with China. I don't know. You don't think if they end up dumping our currency, it would, you know, make a difference with the going to war with them? Like, would that make it any more likely if they
I mean, dump it into what? They have to sell them or use them for goods or something. Like, they have all these bonds. It's mutual destruction if they were just the trash. They can stop purchasing oil with dollars. Fine, use the UN and buy oil from Saudi Arabia directly with that instead of using reserve currency. It's fine. Reserve currencies were convenient.
I don't know.
It increases the demand for dollar because it's like, well, you can buy oil with it, but it's not like you have to buy oil with it. You can always, because it gets.
Brian, you're cutting out a little bit. I thought I'd just say maybe wait until that stops.
Just.
Yeah, you are kind of cutting out.
Yeah, I know. I'm going through tunnels. This was stupid to get on the subway. I'm trying to answer. It was like, there is no rule.
There is no rule and never has been to say you have to buy oil in dollars. They choose to buy oil in dollars. They've always been allowed to buy it with whatever.
So, what kind of... Would it completely overhaul our economy? Like, would it change our how bad off are we going to be if that were to happen? All right, is it necessary?
It wouldn't do anything.
So it'd just be the same shit.
Look, okay, they buy dollars with what? How do they get the dollars? They have to give you whatever currency they have, right? Let's say they give you euros or whatever, okay? Then I'm holding euros, you're holding dollars. You use those dollars to buy oil from the Middle East or whatever, or sell, and you get them more dollars. after you have those dollars, what do you do with them? You can hold on to them to keep buying oil, or you can do what? You can't use them where you live. You have to exchange it back to euros anyway, right? So it's like, it doesn't matter. And what am I going to do with the euros that when I gave you my dollars and I took your euros, where am I going to go spend those? Probably in Europe, right? Like, it's not helping the U.S. economy. Like, it doesn't matter. It's an exchange. You don't have to do it. They buy dollars and hold on to them because other currencies go up and down quite a lot. Like the yen just dropped 30% in like a month. Nobody wants to use the yen to buy oil because one day it's doing this and boom, like the dollar doesn't do that. And if it did that, everybody would be screwed. But
yeah,
people chose the dollar because the dollar is pegged to a multi-trillion dollar economy, and it's very hard for that to violently go up or down compared to Swiss marks or something. You know, they don't even have those anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's all. It's the only reason. You could use yuan, you could use Korean won or something if you want, but the Korean won might go up or down 0.5%, and that could be a lot of money, whereas the dollar's just going around, you know, 0.01% or something. Like, so that's the only reason they use it, for convenience, makes it simple, has less volatility than other currencies. And so what you do is you buy them and you sit on them and you use those to buy oil because the price hasn't really changed. Whereas euros and won and yen and yuan and whatever change quite a bit from day to day or week to week. So they sit there and hold the dollars. The dollar has some value because, like, oh, well, you could, at least you can buy oil with it, right? It's like, well, you could buy oil with anything.
And the reason why the U.S. dollar doesn't have as much volatility as other currencies is because of we kind of, you know, police the world, basically.
I was just about to say that. I want to push back on what you're saying.
It has, because it's tied to the most corporations and the most financials and the most wealth. Like, the U.S. is producing more than anybody else by miles and miles. I mean, look at the GDP of the United States compared to anybody else. It's like $23 trillion. Like, nobody's that close.
Yeah,
like a billionaire a $1 billionaire couldn't do anything to the dollar, but a couple billionaires could fuck with another currency.
All this whole BRICS currency, guys. The California, all right? California has a higher GDP than all these BRICS currencies put together. So, like, it's, yeah.
California has a higher GDP than China and Russia and India and Brazil and South Africa combined. You do not understand the economic wealth. Like, the might of the United States is no longer the military. Back in 1991,
yeah, we had, there's a huge gap in military between the U.S. and everyone else. Right now, it's the money is where the power is. Look how many cities, well-developed first world cities the U.S. has, right? You can't even name them all. If you go like Canada, it's like there's like 5 cities, right? Australia, there's like 4 cities, right? Even France, maybe 7, you know? Like, you can't compare. Even China, I mean, really, yeah, they have a lot of people, but they don't have as many well-developed economic engines and production and all that as the United States.
No.
Like, what are the top computer companies? Is Apple and Microsoft, right?
Yep.
What's the European one? Is there one? You know, like,
no.
You just pick something. Who's building the most? Like, it's France, the United States build almost all the airplanes. You know, you can't compete with Boeing. You look at media. Besides Sony in Japan, who's competing with Disney, let's say? Nobody, besides other American companies. Right? Like, the giant industry
You're cutting out again.
Hey, Ryan. Ryan, it seems like you're talking to us, but we can't hear you.
Yeah, I can't hear you, man. I don't know. It just got real quiet.
Yeah, we can hear you faintly, but not like.
It sounds like you're underwater almost.
I think his headset may have died.
That's some shitty timing.
Yeah, Ryan, sure. Try to switch your audio source. Like, try to talk into your phone.
It's really too bad that we're pushing Russia away.
I called on people on Disney and both the tunnels again.
Yeah, I can kind of hear you better now.
I get off in 2 stops.
There you go. Yeah, we can hear you fine now. I think at least that was all right. Well,
Penis Johnson, can I make a comment since no one else is talking?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have endorsed Ryan Dawson for office, why the hell do you have Penis Johnson as your name? Come on now. Come on.
Penis.
I think I got
penis,
ovened.
Penis.
I got ovened in the tunnel.
Obviously. That was my question. I mean, serious. That's it. With a Z. Serious.
I got out of
Ryan
one
shot early. Ryan, the fan, you know?
That was my... Are you back, Ryan?
Yeah, I was sitting there ranting in the tunnel to myself, I guess.
Yeah, yes.
I was comparing the American economy to everything else. And I'm like, what's the largest social media company outside the US?
What's that WeChat thing? WeChat?
That's probably
I guess it'd be a Chinese company, right?
Probably be TikTok, or which is sort of in the US also. Or WeChat.
Oh, yeah, that TikTok thing.
Right. Yeah, but when you really look at it, like, Google is American. Meta is American. Twitter is American. PayPal is American. And down the line, they're all U.S. And so are the company. Like, Microsoft's American. Apple is American. Like, what software are you using? Probably one of those, right? Cell phones, too. Like, it's Google or Apple. The only people with a little bit of competition is out of South Korea.
They're all subsidized, though, right?
Yeah, it's always tied to state between.
Yeah. It just sucks that we have all these great American companies that are so big, but they don't do anything for us. They aren't for the American people at all.
No, there's no national interest. It's personal profits.
Yeah. I don't know how that could change.
Not quickly. But
what do you think about the TikTok ban?
I don't want to ban it. I want as much market competition as possible.
Did you hear about all the like Patriot Act shit that they're throwing in there?
I know. Like, it's I'm going to do a video just on that. It's embarrassing if you saw the hearing or whatever Congress had. They're like asking really stupid shit, like this TikTok app, or does that run on Wi-Fi? I'm like, damn. I'm pretty bad with tech, but not compared to Congress, apparently. They don't even know what to ask.
It's crazy when they bring these people in and then they have like fucking 70-year-olds asking questions that they have no idea.
They're like, it seems to run on some kind of electricity. But it's doing it in all this Chinese-y way.
Man.
Yeah. What's an Android?
Trump was able to ban TikTok.
It's not about Chinese data or spying or any of that. It's you know who doesn't own TikTok, and so they don't want it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and I guess with this bill, they want more.
I mean, yeah. Surveillance. Even if you can see that they're spying, collecting data like everything does to begin with. So it's not like anything different. It's same old story.
Facebook spies on you. They all spy on you for targeting advertising.
Every app spies on you.
Dude, Google spies. Like when I flew to Ireland, I stopped in Britain because I was like, well, I've never been to Britain. I'll check this out a few days and then go to Dublin. And then immediately when my plane hit the ground, boom, I get a mail from the headquarters at YouTube telling me not to go there, that I would be physically arrested if I showed up at their office. And they're like, no, we've gotten, which I never said on YouTube since I had two strikes and couldn't move on it. I've just mentioned it on BitChute or something. And they're watching everything I do. And they didn't know if I was just talking shit or what. But like when I landed in Britain, they're like, fuck, he's serious. They thought I was going to go there and kill people or something. Like, that's how do you know I was in? You're watching everything I do? They knew my location because of my phone. And so as soon as I was actually in Britain, they're like, oh, shit. And they're like threatening me. I'm like, I'm not going to this office. I'm going to one in Dublin. But I am going. Fuck you. What are you going to do? Cancel me harder? I'm already canceled.
Our privacy needs to be put in the forefront more.
Privacy's fine. Like, you're fucking delusional if you think you have privacy. You don't. If you have a cell phone, they can listen to you whenever they want. They can look at you whenever they want. You got to cover that camera up. The microphone's on whenever they want it to be on.
It's a digital PC. Yeah, it's a digital.
It's a little spy. That's why I just leave mine on the evangelical network when I'm not using it. I just set it there and let them listen to that all day.
That's funny.
Your web camera, too. They can watch you through your web camera. The light will not be on. You're just giving them an eye.
Yeah, I cover mine up. He's a little...
isn't it funny that there's no cover, like an eyelid? Like, how come you can't go and put something over the hole?
You can. There's some computers where you can actually take out the camera. But, yeah.
It'd be nice if they could sell it. If you had a webcam that had a little thing that you could go put over the lens, like shut it down, like physically put something in the way... And like, what you need that for? Like, you fucking know what you need that for. People would buy it.
You can, well, you can make it going.
I just saw a headline that probably.
If I knew how to make it, I'd have one that just says "fuck you, Google," and sell those. And it's like a little thing that attaches your webcam, like an eyelid, to just shut it or open it.
You should see if you could. I'd buy one.
Put it in the store. All the cameras are different sizes and shapes and whatever.
Oh yeah.
NC button that goes, it's a sticky tape that goes right over your camera hole.
I was just gonna say,
I got one, a little hoodie. It's just like a bag that'll fit over any camera, like a clan hood kind of thing. And you just go and drop it on top of it.
Computer hoodie, that's good.
It's a little hoodie, it's called No Spy or something. And you just take your No Spy, stick it on your camera just in case. You know what's funny? Because when you see pictures of Zuckerberg and stuff, they got little pieces of tape on all the cameras. On their own laptop. They've taped it up.
An article just came out simping for tape, saying that it damages your PC.
Little hoodie wouldn't even touch it, right?
No, it's just in the way. But I don't think
you should put tape on your fucking glass. That guy could just buy a new laptop the next day, whatever. He's Zuckerberg. But they have little things in the way. A little hoodie, you just drop it over top of the camera. It's in the dark now. You know, maybe they have infrared, who knows, but fine.
It has a cool ANC on it.
Yeah, have the ANC bird on it. Just giving them the bird, right? In a different way, give them the bird. Boom.
It's a frog.
Give them the bird. Boom. Just make a rainbow frog, as if it was a puppet, except it sits on your camera. What is the frog doing there? There's a camera under it.
It's a camera coot.
I don't know. I'm going to talk to somebody about making little bags. You can use a bag for whatever, but it's also like a camera hoodie. Sticks on there. Pull the hood down.
Ryan, do you think our forefathers would have put up with these people indicting Trump?
No, no. No way. Never even reached that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's the time period where the average height was 5'5", and all these guys are over 6 feet. They were rolling in testosterone. Would not have been putting up with that crap.
Yeah, I would have fit in well back then.
Patrick Henry or Jefferson or any of them putting up with this crap.
I always hear people say, not enough people are awake, though. And I completely disagree with that.
They're
I
think waiting everyone's for someone awake. Else. They're all waiting for someone else to do it for them. God, I get off the fucking train and there's a fucking election bus behind me.
Good timing.
Isn't Ron Paul the big guy, 6'5" or 6'4"?
Ron Paul's 8 feet tall.
Yeah. I learned that from you. I didn't know that before that.
We all just say, oh man. I was everybody.
Way. No way.
He's not. But let's get everybody bend down to make him look 7 feet tall.
But isn't he 6'4"?
No, he's 5'11" or something. But
I'll
just say he's about 6'5", wasn't he? We all just yeah.
Dr. Paul, don't do no wrong.
You got me.
So is the thing from 2016 with the Podesta emails, is that legitimate or is that bullshit?
A lot of bullshit came out about that. So what they did is they took a real thing, because those people are total creepos with the child art and all that stuff. And they're like, look at these, this is the Podesta brothers in Spain. See the sketch artist thing? And it was actually two sketches of the same guy who was not a Podesta. They weren't even in Spain at the time that this event occurred. They put out all this disinformation. So when you see a whole bunch of disinformation about something, then you know that that's trying to cover up for real information. Oh, I'm getting a call from baby, so gotta go.
Cheers.